welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Welcome back to another action-packed week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. And I have a very special guest in studio with me. Brian decided to ditch us for the week, and I think he's going to be out next week as well. And I have Jennifer Bowen of Iowa Right to Life filling in for Brian, and I think she's going to do a fabulous job. Welcome, Jennifer.
Good morning. Thank you so much.
Hey, glad to have you in here. And on the line, we have Secretary of State Paul Pate. Welcome, Paul.
Great to be here.
And, Paul, you guys just had some a law. You saw Governor Branson sign a legislation into law this week, the Safe at Home Act. Can you just pretend like I don't know anything, and which is probably not very difficult for you to do. What is the Safe at Home Act?
It's an opportunity for victims of violence to retake their lives and to come back out, if you will, and resume activities that some of them were not able to do when they became a victim. And what it is a confidentiality address program that our Secretary of State's office will be administering that allows these victims to be able to protect where they live at from their abuser or the stalker that mm-hmm. has been messing with their lives. And this is done in 30 other states, and Iowa has now joined them, in which we will, again, set them up with a confidential address system so that they can resume their normal life if you can, mm-hmm. which is one.
So how would this run through? How would this work once it's all set up and running?
Well,
and
it'll be up and going. We're looking at it by January 1st, but those individuals who have been a victim will be able to apply through our office, and we will set them up with an address system and give them set up with an Iowa driver's license assuming they can drive.
Mm-hmm.
the identity will be in with a new address, one that we will set up that we'll be administering. So all their mail, legal documents, first class mail, etc., will be coming through this address, and then we would forward it to them. But what it does is it gives them form of identity that will not disclose their real home. Mm-hmm. But we would have it. Now, law enforcement and others would still have access to their real address through us. That more or less a clearinghouse. And then what we would do is put them into this program, and they would use it for everything. For example, voter registration. Instead of voting perhaps in Ottumwa or Marshalltown or Muscatine, whatever, they would... we would handle the voting for them by mail.
Okay.
So again, not putting them in a position to have to disclose where they live at.
Mm-hmm.
It's an age-old issue. We have all this high technology nowadays. You can sit in your home, anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world, and you can Google and put down information and try to find people's voting addresses.
Oh, sure.
Maybe a driver's
go to the assessor's record. Website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what that will do is if they do that, the best they could do is get the address the Secretary of State's office has set up for them, which is going to be a mail center.
Right.
So they won't be able to get their real address. It's to give them a chance to take their lives back. I mean, these are people who have been victims of either domestic violence or some other violent crime. It could be even children, for example, who have been victims of sexual abuse. Or that they want to protect where they live at, we can set them up for addresses this way. It include everything from driver's licenses to utility bills to library cards. We can put all these through this address confidentiality program.
And who is the brainchild behind doing this in the state?
This is a combination. It was on my priority list. We were really fortunate when Mr. Representative Fisher came forward from the Marshalltown area and said, "Hey, Dean said I want to do this. I have a constituent who had a problem with this. Well, actually, had to leave the state with her child because of an unfortunate situation, and she would have liked to have stayed here if she could have had some help."
Right.
So from his side, that's where it came from. From mine, it was something I had followed because I'd seen other states do it. And we were very candid. When I was a state senator, I sponsored anti-stalking legislation successfully because I had a constituent that was, her mother had been stalked and actually killed in Cedar Rapids. And I felt that this is a terrible way to have to live one's life or to lose one's life because of somebody out there. And so the address confidentiality program got legs from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Representative Fisher took it to the House 100-0. Mm-hmm. Danielson on the Senate side took it through 45-0. And
it's nice to see that we have at least some things we can have bipartisan support.
It's a complete unanimous support of.
It is. And I think that the only complaint I got from some of the folks was that they didn't think it was enough. And I can't disagree. I mean, who wouldn't want the perfect solution, to something like, domestic violence or violence at any level? Because, when you are someone who's been suffered through that, and then I like to think of them more as survivors. They're putting their lives back together. And,
right.
We need to do what we can for them. But now the challenge, very candidly, is the funding side of it. The bill was written in that the people who do the crime will pay the fee, meaning a portion of the fines will be going to this fund. But that'll take over a year to collect because the laws are written and the timing. So we'd also actually ask for some startup money of $45,000, and right at this point that has not been funded. The legislature's been going through some quirky times right now.
Right.
I appreciate.
I think they're light years apart on the budget, so that's kind of interesting to watch.
So I don't know where that one's at the moment. I just try to keep that information in front of the legislators so that they remember how important it is.
Yeah, don't forget me in the appropriations process.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen, and it hasn't changed from my tenure as a senator till now coming back as Secretary of State. It just hasn't changed. As much as we like to think we get smarter and more efficient, I still think there's something we just can't change.
Right. Well, at least now they got the biennial budget, so they're really only haggling over this every other year. But
And
the other years to do further damage with other types of bills, but. That'll take us down to another rabbit trail. I wanted to ask you, we're wrapping up this week, Small Business Week, and we've had you on the show before, but never got the chance to ask you about what business services does the Secretary of State's office provide?
Well, we're a portal for small business and business in general for the state of Iowa, because about every business starts in our office when they start with their formal incorporation. Whether they're going to be an LLC or a limited partnership or a standard corporation, they choose those and they will file those initial papers in our office. That's kind of the beginning. And then there are other things that they do. A lot of them, this is agriculture. There's a thing called Uniform Commercial Code, UCC.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice fancy term for meaning that you're borrowing some money, so you have to secure it with some collateral. It could be livestock, it could be equipment, anything along those lines. We process those. We also deal with a lot of mechanic liens, a lot of financial instruments that go along with business and banking. But we try to do a little more than that. We've tried to set up our website and our staffing to make sure they're able to forward people to the areas they need help with. As a business owner myself, I've always felt that it's key to have somebody who can see government that they say, hey, I may not be the one, but I'll get you where you need to go. Because
right.
It gets a little complicated at times.
Yeah, I have to tell you, I've had a chance to set up an LLC through the Secretary of State's office, and it was a piece of cake doing it through your office. So, So you touted Small Business Week. Were you involved in any activities this week promoting small businesses?
Not directly as much as I'd like to have been. We're actually working on some initiatives that to unfold because, in my mind, Small Business Week is every week. So we're going to try and put some things together that would avail small businesses to some services that they might want more of. The main focus, I want to remind people, I did put out some information that we're seeing record numbers of filings creating new businesses.
That's good. That's a good sign.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now so what we're doing, we're trying to compare that to trends in other parts of the country, because Iowa has been recognized by many various business publications and ratings in the last recent years for doing a better job. I saw one the other day, showed us as 13th in the country for business starts, and others about business atmosphere, that, you know, the taxing, education, quality of life, all the important things. But we're still, believe it or not, agriculture is still the number one.
Sure.
It creates a lot of jobs, value-added agriculture does, all the things we do with it. So there's a lot of businesses spin off of that. But we've seen a huge, huge increase in other types of businesses that aren't directly related to agriculture. We're seeing more of those. The goal is to see if that can't be spread more to the other counties, so it's not just maybe the top 30, 40 counties
right.
in the state. What do we do to help all 99 have that opportunity? So I think that the department, the State Department of Economics Authority is doing a good job and doing their side of it. We just want to do what we can to spread the word. But it's the backbone. Small business is the backbone by far. Statistically, small businesses in Iowa create more jobs than John Deere and more jobs than Principal and these other companies. They may be big employers by themselves, but when you look at the big mm-hmm. picture, small businesses are the ones that create the job base.
Great. You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we have Secretary of State Paul Pate on the line, and Jennifer had a question.
I do. I don't know if you know the answer to this or not, but I'm curious. I mean, it's very encouraging what you just said as far as, you know, the small business explosion. That's sort of not what you hear in the mass media. You know, it's sort of more mm-hmm. a dismal picture. And so that's very encouraging news. What I'm curious is that a lot of native Iowans that are stepping forward and starting new businesses? Is there an influx of people who are reading about how good the atmosphere is in Iowa and they're moving in and doing that? Is it a blending of that?
Mm-hmm. I don't have a statistical answer for you. My suspect is that it's Iowans who are here. Now, they may not be long-term Iowans, mm-hmm. but they're Iowans who are here who are deciding, hey, this is the time I should do something. What I'm looking to find out, and this is what we're trying to explore right now to get more information, is this the primary earner in a family, or is it a mm-hmm. secondary?
Right.
Because in the past, it was usually a secondary. You know, one of the spouses would say, you know, I'm going to go out and start a cottage industry, and they'd start a business. And then the other one was over here working at Principal, you know, or somewhere else. What I suspect is, I think it's truly a primary business they're doing.
Yeah.
And look around yourself. I'll pick on the suburbs, you know, of Des Moines, for example. I don't recall that, but, you know, the towns around us. You see a lot of more retail. Retail is the new growth market. I've read more materials on that. Cities now are focusing harder and harder on how to expand the service side, because people, you know, they work hard. Mm-hmm. They find that their time is so limited, so they want options on how to, you know, whether it's clothing, whether it's support they need, services, whatever it might be. But you'll see it. There are a lot of community malls now, and in those malls, those are local owners. Those aren't franchises. They're not national companies coming in. Those are somebody who is an entrepreneur who is. Mm-hmm. Look at the East Village. Most of those businesses down there around the capital, those are entrepreneurs that are put their own little shops in. So,
well,
I think that's good.
I think that's so encouraging. I've been in Iowa about 15 years. I now consider myself a native. I think I've been here long enough.
There you go.
But I grew up in upstate New York, and you know, going home year after year, it's very depressing. You know, because you see shuttered up buildings. Every time I go home, there are more and more businesses that are closing and moving out of New York, or just going belly up. And it's the exact opposite, like you said, in those, you know, Dallas County and Polk County and those sorts of things. It's very encouraging to see, you know, new buildings coming up. And it's even more so to hear that they are, you know, it's not big box stores moving in and taking over. It's it's the your neighbor that you want to support at that business. And so I think it's exciting to see and hear about even your leadership already in just the several months that you've been back in office, sort of leading the way, obviously, whether it's talking about, you know, empowering women and taking back their lives or bolstering the Iowa economy. It is just a really, it's encouraging talking to you because a lot of times we can just believe the dismal kind of stuff that we read in the main media. So I just want to say thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. And you know, it's everybody's role to be ambassadors of goodwill about what's happening here in Iowa and in your own communities. I will say openly that when I left the Secretary of State's office in 98 and I was traveling the state then extensively, I was concerned. I had a little talk. I call it the plywood talk. But frankly, when I go into small towns, I just saw plywood on windows. And now, as I travel the state, I see much more vibrance, much more energy. Now, we're not done.
Right.
We're not done. But there's enough good news. And it does resonate out of the urban centers. I mean, it's a fact. We know that. But the difference is it's not just a county. You know, I can take you three and four counties out from Polk, and you'll see that. And I can do that to Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, et cetera, et cetera.
Great.
So it's those counties who are a little farther out that we have to help a little more and give them, you know, and I say we mean government leaders. And
we are out of time. Hey, thank you.
There you go.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We had Paul Pate online. Thank you so much, Secretary. Appreciate it.
Take care.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
I don't have time for their drama. Have you ever said that? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries, and it's time to pause for peace. All too often, it is our busy lives that set us up for conflict. So when such obstructions hit, we have little time to do anything but react. Sadly, such reactions tend to complicate rather than correct the problem. This is why we encourage people to pause. PAUSE is a helpful acronym developed by Peacemaker Ministries designed to equip people to constructively pursue peace. The P stands for prepare. Self-defense training conditions the student to develop an action to counteract an attack. Such preparedness protects the would-be victim from contributing to a vulnerable situation. In like fashion, times of conflict can be de-escalated by taking time to think before speaking. To read more about how you can be prepared for conflict, check out our website at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America.
Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance you need. And we have on the line, she's been on our program before and spoke at the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing, Chelsen Vicari. Am I pronouncing your last name right? Is Vicari?
Bullseye, Vicari, that's right.
All right, hey. Occasionally I do get that right. So she's the Evangelical Action Director with the Institute on Religion and Democracy in D.C. And you had the opportunity, Chelsen, to participate in the rally outside the Supreme Court as they were hearing oral arguments on gay marriage.
That's right. Thank you, Shane, for having me on. So good to be back. Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for joining us, too.
Yeah.
Looking forward to the conversation. And so last Tuesday, as everybody knows, oral arguments happened at the Supreme Court on marriage, and I was involved outside of the Supreme Court at a one-man, one-woman rally that was pretty hostile, unfortunately, because at the same time, the left or pro same-sex, quote, marriage, they were also having a rally, and unfortunately, they also wanted to take over and hijack our rally. So it wasn't very peaceful, but nonetheless, we were there and we were standing for marriage.
So when you said they were trying to take over your rally, what were they doing?
Yes. So we unfortunately were certainly outnumbered. And so we were giving them space on the left side to,
which is
to have their speakers. Which is appropriate, exactly. To have their speakers, to listen, be able to hear their speakers. But unfortunately, so many of them came over and really just infiltrated our area that we had our boundaries outlined. They were blocking people from being able to get up to the rally. I had such a hard time trying to get up to the podium to speak because they were posing as security, and they were pretending that I wasn't allowed back to get to the podium. And so it was a mess.
Wow.
It was a nightmare. As our speakers were trying to talk, they were yelling and screaming and trying to scream over our speakers. Very disrespectful, because our side was, we were not doing that to them. You know, freedom of speech, you have what you want to say, you can say it. But it was unfortunate that we didn't have that right. We didn't have that freedom. Certainly we were trying to be drowned out and intimidated,
right,
and bullied.
Right. And well, it seems like when it comes to free speech and liberty is that everybody has a right to their view, except unless you disagree with mine.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's
unfortunate.
What we see on multiple issues, not just marriage. It's most hostile in marriage, but they're only tolerant of you if you agree with them, and then they're intolerant. And
right.
Then they'll say that you're the one who's being intolerant. It makes no sense.
Right. Well, it just reminds me, we had for the Iowa Prayer Breakfast a while back, we had Oz Guinness come speak, and he talked about how you know, we have people want a naked public square, and then, or as compared to a sacred public square. But in reality, what we should have and what our country was founded upon was a civil public square that we could actually have discourse on these issues, intelligent discourse that's based on facts and we have,
right,
and respect for one another. And it seems like that's just, we've completely lost that, and that's unfortunate.
Mm. You know, I have to say, what really seemed to irk those opponents of marriage who are out there trying to scream over us was when us 20-somethings got up to the podium and were speaking in support of marriage as God defined it, one man, one woman. I mean, they didn't know what to do with us, because in their minds, and sadly in a lot of their minds, there's a caricature that's portrayed out there by the media that proponents of marriage are against equality, they hate people, and they're probably old white males. So when a young 27-year-old woman gets up there and in a loving tone says, I support marriage as God defined it, and that is, we cannot compromise on this, unfortunately, but it doesn't mean I don't love those people over there who were, you know, screaming over us. And
right,
they just really didn't know how to take that, and it was really encouraging. And I have to also say that the young woman who organized our entire rally, she was a 25-year-old young woman who was behind it. So I thought it was really encouraging to say, you know what, the media is lying to you. There are young people who do support marriage.
Right.
They're telling you we don't exist. We certainly do. And we,
yeah,
were out the Supreme Court that day.
Yeah, and you know, obviously there's a trend. I think we'd be, you know, we'd be,
yeah,
naive to think that there isn't a trend among even young evangelicals,
yes,
towards supporting same-sex marriage. You know, we've talked with you before about some of the
the things that you experienced when you went off to college, and
absolutely,
and it was kind of eye opening and how you kind of had a wake up call.
Oh yes.
So, before we get into that, just you had some of the people who actually come out to talk to you after they were in. They got to hear the oral arguments. Is there much chance for hope? Or should we have any hope? I mean, that's, you know, I want to hold out some hope that I think that the Supreme Court will at least respect the 10th Amendment and allow states to decide this issue. But, you know I have a lot of friends that think this is pretty much a done deal. What do you think?
Right.
And what were you hearing?
I didn't have much hope until that day, until last Tuesday, because friends of mine who are attorneys for Alliance Defending Freedom and other well-respected religious liberty legal defense funds, they came out, they had heard what had happened in the courtroom, they heard the questions that the Supreme Court justices said, and they said, you know what, I am encouraged because the justices are concerned about religious liberty being an issue. Mm-hmm. They have said it is going to be an issue, and they were concerned, and so the questions that were asked, they were drawing attention to the fact that should we redefine marriage? Marriage, I think one justice has said, you know, this idea of same-sex, quote, marriage is newer than cell phones. Should the Supreme Court, should none of us make that decision after a millennia of marriage being one man, one woman? So that was really encouraging to me. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel that way before until I heard the oral arguments. I feel that the justices, yes, they give me hope because of the questions they raised. I certainly feel encouraged, and I feel very encouraged to know that while there are trends among young people, among young evangelicals, there are young Christians who exist, and they exist in this city, and they're working so tirelessly and hard to preserve marriage. Great. As God defined it.
You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and on the line we have Chelsen Vaccari with the Institute on Religion and Democracy, and Jennifer Bowen as a special guest co-host. So Jennifer looks like she has a question, so I'll let her jump in.
I know that's very common. It's a common look I have. I have a couple of questions for you, but one of them being, to your point about the questions that some of the Supreme Court justices raised, I think were very encouraging, like you said, because they seemed, some of them that voiced those concerns seemed very concerned about the magnitude of what they were being asked to do. Mm-hmm. They seemed very concerned with, you know, our society has been built on this, like you said, for thousands of years, and, you know, society as a whole. And do we really want to tinker with this? And so it's encouraging to hear you say that as well, too, from being sort of on the ground and hearing that encouraging news. My question, kind of circling back to what you're talking about in the beginning, I'm curious, as far as you said, the other side of the issue seemed to outnumber our side of the conversation. What's your sense of, was it sort of like, you know, I was down in Texas a few years ago when they had that special the special session after Wendy Davis filibustered on infanticide, and they were bussing in protesters, right. You know, occupiers. They forgot kind of why they were there, you know, protesting abortion. They were sort of, you know, world peace kind of people. Mm-hmm. And they got off a bus and they went where they were told to go. Was it sort of that, you know, paid protesters? Was it sort of that mm-hmm. again?
Yes, absolutely. Human Rights Campaign was putting out memos telling people where to go. There's a whole lot of money
right.
behind the left. And also, their people have more time. Our people have jobs.
Yeah. We're working during the day.
They're working. They
very good point.
The time. They have families. Mm-hmm. So they can't sleep on the steps of the Supreme Court. They just can't do it overnight.
Right. And we expect them to pay their own way there, too.
Exactly.
So.
And that just takes a lot of money when you have two kids and a wife and you have to get all the way from Iowa to D.C. and find a hotel.
Right.
It's not easy.
And
you have responsibilities that take precedent, understandably.
Right. I'm trying to think. Remember, the March for Marriage just took place before that, didn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
The March,
so people,
was on Saturday.
You already, that was like some 10,000 people, I think.
We did. Yeah. So the report said that there were thousands who showed up, and that was probably easier. It was on a Saturday. Tuesday, again, they had to get back to their jobs.
Right, right. Yeah, because that's a great point. I want to talk about, with the remaining time we have left, because it probably use up the 5 minutes Ron's telling me we have left. How, because we could solve this in 5 minutes, how do we mm-hmm. reach out to millennials on this issue?
Yeah, my biggest piece of advice is to live it, to show young Christians in your church or the millennials that you know that you are willing to do things that are going to bring hostility towards you in order to stand up for marriage, because they're going to mimic what they see in leadership, and we need leadership. So we need people like the Green family or the Memories Pizza owners that are going to say, this is what marriage is. God defined it. I'm going to defend it no matter the cost. I think that your actions are going to speak louder than your words at times. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't encourage or teach what marriage is, but
right.
Make sure that you are living it out in your life, that you're willing to bring on that huge amount of backlash, because it is our liberty that we are fighting for. It is our faith that we're fighting for.
Absolutely. Now, I think there are some legitimate beefs as far as how the church has interacted with the homosexual community in the past. Are there things that we could do differently as far as engaging the homosexual community that would possibly sway some millennials' view on how the church interacts with homosexuals?
Yeah, Shane, I'm glad you brought that up, because I do have to say, on the far right of the Supreme Court, the Westboro Baptist people were there, and we made a point to say we are not with them either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That right. is not what we are saying, because they had hateful signs and speeches going on, but that was not what we were representing. I think it is good to soften our tone. We haven't always seen that in the past from some individuals in the church, but again, It doesn't mean that by softening our tone, we're going to compromise our convictions.
Right,
and
yeah.
And we just have to make sure we don't do that.
And that's not what I'm talking about either, because, yeah, I guess there is, you know, there needs to be a happy medium somewhere between Westboro Baptist Church and then just saying, hey, I'm open and affirming, and, you know, hey, sure, go ahead and come on in to my church and become, you know, we'll have a wedding.
And live and let live.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
One
to thing say that we aren't affirming, but we are welcoming it.
Right.
We love you, and you can come into our church, but we cannot endorse sin. We
right.
cannot do that.
Absolutely. And fortunately, I think, and this is something I noticed in 2009 when we saw in Iowa our Defense of Marriage Act be struck down by our Iowa Supreme Court. A lot of the interaction that the church had with homosexuals at the time, and still, unfortunately, is just in the political realm. And I think we as a church need to, and I think millennials need to see this too, because I think it'll change perceptions of how we interact with those we disagree with. We need to make sure that we're being salt and light in their community and reaching them where they're at.
Do you think, you know, I'm thinking through some of the polling that I've seen recently as far as, you know, millennials leaving the churches, and church being mainstream, whatever, you know, stripe, leaving the churches in droves. Do you think it's because of issues like this where they're not seeing, you know, like Shane saying, the salt and light, they're seeing either the harshness or the other, you know, the other side of it. Do you think this is one of the issues that it's a reason why the millennials are marching out of the church, because we're not relevant?
I don't
or seeming relevant.
Yeah, no, I would say that because the church has been trying for so long to be relevant,
mm-hmm.
that young Christians are thinking, well, I mean, I can have my cake and eat it too. I don't need, you know, it starts with truth becomes relative, and that is because we are trying to compromise Christian teaching, and we are seeing that across the board, especially the mainline denominations.
Mm-hmm.
So young Christians are like, well, if truth is relative, why do I need to wake up on Sunday mornings and be committed to this faith? And we just slowly see them trickle away. I also think that young Christians aren't being taught enough about their faith to defend it. So when they go to college and they're presented with all these really nice sounding arguments against Christianity,
yeah.
they move away from it because they don't know enough about it. That's what I would say.
Because of the sound doctrine and theology being missing.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's, you know, definitely who would want to be painted as hateful and unfair, you know? That's
right.
and basically we need to recognize too, what the left has is nothing, it's basically nothing but an emotional argument. We can come with facts and make a case, and we need to make sure we keep the debate there and not get into the emotions of it.
Exactly.
And unfortunately that's what drives drives this whole debate. Thank you so much for your time. We're out of time. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio with Shane Vanderhart and Jennifer Bowen, and we'll be back. Thanks, Chelsea.
Thank you, guys. That was great.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
I don't have time for their drama. You ever said that? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries, and it's time to pause for peace. All too often, it is our busy lives that set us up for conflict. So when such obstructions hit, we have little time to do anything but react. Sadly, such reactions tend to complicate rather than correct the problem. This is why we encourage people to pause. PAUSE is a helpful acronym developed by Peacemaker Ministries designed to equip people to constructively pursue peace. The P stands for prepare. Self-defense training conditions the student to develop an action to counteract an attack. Such preparedness protects the would-be victim from contributing to a vulnerable situation. In like fashion, times of conflict can be de-escalated by taking time to think before speaking. To read more about how you can be prepared for conflict, check out our website at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries. Check out Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141 or check out www.crosswalkcounseling.org. And we're just to our time where we're going to just do a brief news rundown, but I want to play a couple clips for you this morning. First is, I want to set this up. It's Ron. This will be clip number one. General Martin Dempsey. He's the U.S. Army member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He testified before the Defense Appropriations Committee, and he said something that's pretty troubling.
I would just like to reiterate something that I've said in the previous hearings this fiscal year, which is that the global security environment is as uncertain as I've seen in 40 years of service.
And hey, but yeah, let's go ahead and let Iran have nukes, because that seems like the smart thing to do, right? Amazing. And when a general such as Martin Dempsey says something like that, we should take note. And also, I want to encourage our listeners, really, really, really vet hard these presidential candidates that are coming through and we're tripping over on foreign policy, because unlike a lot of domestic policies that takes basically legislative branch to act, and then obviously the president can lead the charge, but there's it takes legislative action as well, and it takes longer, but the president is pretty nimble when it comes to foreign policy and establishing, maintaining decent relationships with our allies, unfortunately cutting deals with those who are not our allies. So it's very important that to know that these candidates know their stuff on foreign policy and can stand up to threats we're facing, like Iran, as well as ISIS and Russia and North Korea and China, and we can go on and on and on. I mean, This is not a safe world, and unfortunately, having a president with naive would probably be giving him, you know, that would be too kind, because he knows exactly what he's doing. We need somebody who's going to reverse the course and knows who our true allies are and knows who our enemies are, and they know how to stand firm. Somebody kind of like Ronald Reagan. So next clip is Mrs. Hillary Clinton comes out on immigration reform. I was going to say come out of the closet, but that's a whole different issue.
That's another show.
Yeah, it's another show.
It's also essential that we strengthen families and communities, and that means we have to finally, once and for all, fix our immigration system. We can't wait any longer for a path to full and equal citizenship. Now, this is where I differ with everybody on the Republican side. Make no mistakes. Today, not a single Republican candidate, announced or potential, is clearly and consistently supporting a path to citizenship. Not one. When they talk about legal status, that is code for second-class status. As Secretary of State, I saw what happens to countries that establish a second-class status for people. They do not feel that they belong or that they have any allegiance to the country in which they live and work, because they're never fully accepted. And I'm not about to let anybody who can make a contribution to our economy and our society get thrown away. So from my perspective, we need to fix that, we need to remove the fear, and we need to make sure that we give every child a chance to do the best that he or she can.
Well,
that made my eyeballs hurt. I am literally writhing in pain after that minute and a half. That was horrible.
Right, yeah.
Where do you even start, Shane?
Well, I would start, first of all, as a cautionary tale to the GOP, we need to be able to reach out to Latinos. However, we need to come with a message that we want to address this situation, but we cannot just reward people who came here illegally. What Mrs. Clinton said when she said code for, I'd say her speech is code for, I want to make you citizens so you come over and vote for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sorry. Somebody who's come here illegally should not necessarily have citizenship rights. I'm not so far, you know, I'll probably make everybody mad here on this with this segment, but I'm not one who says, like, we can't what's the word I'm looking for? Deport them all. I think there's, as a Christian, I think I need to consider their children. Their children didn't do anything wrong. And since when do we punish children for the sins of their parents? So I think addressing children of illegal aliens, however, we got to do it in a way that's not going to encourage more of that instead of, you know, but I think ultimately secure the border, but we need to get past that. And I'm sorry if that's not full citizenship, but I think there are people who did the right thing, who, you know, waited for years, who went through all the hoops and went through that process. We're not being fair if we just give people who came here illegally citizenship when there are others who've done the right thing and they've gone through the process and have done everything that they're supposed to do. I can't imagine how frustrating that would be for them. So,
and I think there's some of our strongest voices on the issue as far as those that have come over and gone through the process and become, you know, proud U.S. citizens. It does them a disservice, and they're some of our strongest voices on it.
Right.
But I think you're absolutely right that we can't lose sight of our Christian worldview and you know, deport them all. Or, I mean, it sounds...
It's red meat, conservatism.
It's red meat,
right.
But it's not necessarily Christian compassion either. And so I think we have to have a larger conversation for sure about it, because obviously what we're doing isn't working.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously, yes, I want to respect the rule of law, and there are things that we could do.
Mm-hmm.
Secure the border, penalize companies that hire illegals.
Common sense things.
Common sense things. But, you know, the people who are here who can contribute, and Mrs. Clinton's right, there are illegal immigrants, aliens, she won't use undocumented workers, whatever phrase that they use. There are people who are contributing. There are people who aren't. And definitely the people who aren't, the people who are, you know, criminal element, those are people we should definitely be deporting. Mm-hmm. Others, I'm sorry, we can't just give them citizenship. They need to pay some sort of a penalty, whether it's a fine or whatnot, if they're allowed to stay. I know that, you know, Numbers USA or whoever, would their minds would explode by me even saying that, because they say, it's amnesty. Well, call it what you will. I don't think we can deport everybody, and I'm not sure that's the wise thing to do. But I think we all agree that our immigration system is broken and it needs to be fixed. So we need to look at the process, how long it takes to get here. Why does it take so long to come here legally? That's part of the problem.
Right.
Quota levels, do those need to be looked at? Do those need to be changed? You know, so. We want to make sure that we're a welcoming nation, but also stress too that I mean, okay, the whole melting pot concept that still exists, and I think to a certain respect it needs to be honored. But obviously, yes, you still have diversity mm-hmm. in the midst of that. But we need to communicate our immigration policy in a way that makes us not sound as though we're anti-immigration. And unfortunately, some of our candidates have in the past, and not necessarily saying anybody currently, have communicated that way. So,
when I would just make a side note too, that when she throws around words like second class citizen and all of that, I think she needs to take a real hard look at the places around the world where she's taking money by the millions.
Oh, you went there.
I did go there because it's incredibly hypocritical when you're not looking into the eyes of the women behind the burqas that are treated as second class citizens. And I think it's time for her to do a little soul searching.
Amen. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
I don't have time for their drama. Have you ever said that? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries, and it's time to pause for peace. All too often, it is our busy lives that set us up for conflict. So when such obstructions hit, we have little time to do anything but react. Sadly, such reactions tend to complicate rather than correct the problem. This is why we encourage people to pause. PAUSE is a helpful acronym developed by Peacemaker Ministries designed to equip people to constructively pursue peace. The P stands for prepare. Self-defense training conditions the student to develop an action to counteract an attack. Such preparedness protects the would-be victim from contributing to a vulnerable situation. In like fashion, times of conflict can be de-escalated by taking time to think before speaking. To read more about how you can be prepared for conflict, check out our website at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart with Jennifer Bowen sitting next to me in place of Brian Myers this week. Jennifer, you were sharing a story when we were off air that we have to talk about this. We have to talk about this. Usually we talk about this, you can't make this stuff up. Well, you can't really make this story up. What?
Where do you start?
Yeah, where do you start? Goat carts. Not go-karts, goat carts.
Well, I think we started when we talked about the cougar sighting over in Omaha a couple days ago and the public outcry on social media because those mean police officers who were trying to protect the daycare and the residents in downtown Omaha ended up having to shoot and kill this cougar.
Right.
And the cougar lost his life. And now people are very upset because this cougar lost his life and they should have done something more humane and et cetera, et cetera.
They could establish a scholarship fund in his name.
They probably will. And they probably already have done so. Or a GoFundMe page has been set up.
GoFundMe, yeah.
And because that's sort of the way they like to go. And so anyway, then we started talking about a story I heard last night that there were apparently these two little goats. And I was told I need to leave my job at Iowa Right to Life and go start working for animals because apparently that's where the money
is. That's lucrative, yes.
It's lucrative because what ended up happening is these two little goats were born and apparently without a spine or something like that, which is tragic. And, you know, I'm not for, you know, kicking an animal when they're down. But what ended up happening is they raised and are raising thousands of dollars for these little goats because they need carts. Yes, they need goat carts, to get around. I know. Sometimes it just gives you fodder. And so they have these little goat carts. And of course, you can't just get one little goat cart and then they're set. These goats are going to grow.
Right.
And so you need to keep funding these goat carts because these little goats need to have the carts to get around. And so they're raising thousands of dollars for these little goats,
I'm just trying
too.
I wish radio you could see. I'd like to get it. So how does this work? Do they you know, put their legs down, the front legs down, and they kind of pull themselves around? Because I've seen that kind of like with dogs.
Yes, when they
lose a
leg
amputees.
Or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So is it similar to that?
That's my understanding of it. Absolutely.
Wow.
Now, I don't know. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. What do goats do? I mean, they eat grass.
And you can milk them.
And you can milk them, I've heard. And you get goat cheese and goat milk and stuff. But
they make a great curry.
You probably could do that without the cart. You know, I mean, you could carry the cart. You could carry the goat around, but they need their specialized carts. And so, you know, it's just an upside down world that we're in because, you know, here we're fighting for things like this. And here in Iowa, we're losing 16 unborn babies every single day. But let's not pay any attention to unborn Iowans that have a soul that are, I don't know, people. And let's worry about the goats.
I have a better use for the goats. You know, waste not, want not. Like I said, goat curry. Have you ever eaten goat before?
I have not.
I had goat once in a Jamaican restaurant.
Is it good? It doesn't even seem like it'd be appetizing.
It
seems tough. Wouldn't it be tough?
Yeah, it's kind of chewy.
They eat grass and they don't do anything. They seem, I think, kind of mean too.
Yeah, well, I don't know. One's at Des Moines. If you get in its way. But the little kids, that's actually what you call baby goats. They come, which I had somebody one time when I was, you know, I was a youth minister 20 years. I went to this youth conference, and this one liberal youth worker said, "Teenagers are not goats. Stop calling them kids." I'm like, "Give me a break, kid." You know, so
it's crazy what we fixate on.
Right. So anyway, yeah. So I've had that, and it was interesting. And I'm not sure it's going to be. You know.
Well, these goats are never going to be curry or soup or but they're never going to give you. They're going to be revered for the rest of their natural lives because they've got carts. They're going to get around. They're going to. What about all those second class citizens, the other goats in the pasture that don't have fancy wheels and whatnot?
Right. We need to get them carts, too.
Well, it's only fair. I mean,
yeah.
That's just only fair.
Yeah, we're out of time. Our quote of the day, C.S. Lewis, "A man can no more diminish God's glory by refusing to worship him than a lunatic can put out the sun by scribbling the word darkness on the walls of the cell." This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll see you next week.